We begin the current daf Masechta Nedarim, daf Samaches. We begin on the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, explaining the opening line of our parak of Narim Harasa. We said that although when a girl is in our father's household, he has the right to be mefer her neder, to revoke her neder from here on, and when she's married with Nesuin, then her husband has the right to do it. We said, however, in the Mishnah that when she's still a Naira, not yet a Begeris, so she's still in her father's domain, and she's only engaged, so that also still retains her in her father's domain, but she's somewhat in her husband's domain because she's engaged, that the Mishnah said that avio ubay lemafir nedera. You need to have both of them to sign on to this afara to undo it. One of them is not enough. So the Gemara asked, what's the source for this halacha? So on the previous daf, Rabbah brought from the pasuk from hayusil ish nedera leho, which two different sources to prove how that pasuk is talking about anarusa, not nesua. And therefore, since it says Avav, which is the end, Hachibur, that's connected to the previous Pesukim, which talks about the father having the rights, so we see that there's a joint right of the father and the Chassan, and therefore that's how we know that both of them are made for the neder of a girl when she's a Nair Marasa. Now that's why Gemara continues and brings another source for this halacha. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, and the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught in the Braisa as follows. The Pasuk of Midbar says, and this is in Perek Lamed Pasuk in Zion, says, Ela HaChukim, these are the laws, Asher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe, that Hashem commanded to Moshe, which are, and this is at the conclusion of that parsha in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Lamed, that we said speaks about all these halachas of Nedarim, and specifically in our context of the when she's in her father's household, when she's single, and then these Pesukim that Rabbah had said talk about when she's engaged, and then ultimately when she's married. So it concludes with this Pasuk, that these are the laws that Hashem commanded Moshe, between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter. And as the pasuk concludes, which are binureho beisovia, when she's a naira in our father's household. So on that, the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel taught, mikan l'naira marasa. This is the source for a naira, for a girl under 12 and a half, who is engaged, shaviyo b'ilam afin nadira, that our father and her chasen, her husband, they are jointly able to be made for the neder. And the reason being is because since the pasuk concludes binareho beisavia, that gives off to tell us that she's naira, still in our father's household, and from the fact that it says a connection in the same pasuk, the relationship of a father to his daughter and from a husband to the wife, that would tell us what's the time period that she has both in the domain of a father and the domain of a husband. That's when she's engaged. So that would tell us that that's the father and the chasen, those two are the ones that have to do the hafara to undo this woman's neder, again, which is binareho beisavia, when she's in naira, still in our father's household, yet engaged. And you need to have both of them, the father and the chasen, to be made for the neder. Now, the Gemara contrasts now the two interpretations. What do they do with the other one's pasuk? So the Gemara asks, Lotana de Bei Bishmol, Sim Hoyoi Siyala Ish, so the pasuk that we brought on the previous daf, that Rabbah had used as the interpretation and the source for this halacha, which tells us that a chasen and the father both have to be made for the neder of a Naira Marasa, my Ovid Lay, what do they do with the pasuk? Because they know it from a different pasuk, which is later on at the end of that chapter, which tells us a different pasuk of Ben Av Labita and Ben Ish Leishta. So what do they do with the pasuk of Hayisi Leish? So now the Gemara says, Moikim Leidach, and the Gir says, De Rabbah. They utilize that pasuk to teach a different halacha, which actually is Rabbah himself, which that's a Gemara later on, the Ainam at Aleph, where the Gemara there teaches a source for the halacha of what's called Nisroikin, which is when the husband dies, although that there's a joint rights of the father and the chasen, but when the chasen dies, then it's Nisroikin al-Aviyah. Then all the rights get poured over, as we're going to discuss that concept in today's daf, to the father, which the source for that is because it says M'hoyosiyah, talks about two havayas, two engagements, which Rabbah tells us that it compares the second time she gets engaged to somebody to the first time she gets engaged to somebody. In other words, just like before the first engagement, when she was still single, she was in her father's domain, so too, when the first chasen dies, which is now before the second engagement, then the father also has all the rights in his daughter, just like he had before the first one, and that's comparing hayosiyah to say that, just like the first time before she was engaged, it was all the father, so to before the second time, and when the first one dies, it's Nisroikin Lavia, goes back to the father. And therefore, that's what they do with this pasuk, M'hoyisi Le'ish. Whereas Rabbah holds that you learn not both halachas from the pasuk. The primary pasuk is teaching, as Rabbi taught in the previous daf, the halacha of Nair HaMarasa, when she's engaged, where the father and the husband jointly are made for the nether. And moreover, the fact that it says in the redundant term of Hayesia to Havayas, that's the other halacha of Rabbi, which is to compare the second engagement to the first engagement, which is before the second shall be like before the first, which is that it goes back into her father's domain. Now, however, the Ran does ask that since according to the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, the whole pasuk of Imhayusi Le'ish is only to compare the two Havayas, the two engagements of before the second engagement, meaning after the first one died, that it goes to the father just like it was all the fathers before the first engagement. So then the Ran wonders, so where does the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel know the halacha that an Aris could be made for Bekoidman, that someone that's engaged could nullify together with the father Nidram that were made before they were engaged, which was learned out later, brought from a pasuk of Nidirah Aleha, which is from that pasuk of Imhayasi Le'ish. Where does he know it from? Because he can't learn it from Nidirah Aleha like it's later brought in the Gemara. Because that's only if you learn like Rabbah that pasuk is talking about a Nair Marasa. But according to the Brice of Yishmol, Nair Marasa, they learn it from a different pasuk of Bein Ish Le'ishtai. And this pasuk is only teaching you a different halacha regarding the ability of the father, nothing to do with the chasen, the arus. So where would he know this halacha of arus can be made for b'kaidman? So in that, the Ram brings from the Chacham of Vasek Reb Shmuel that according to the interpretation of Reb Shmuel, you don't need a pasuk to teach you that halacha. Because although that you're right, when she gets married to the husband, when there's already nisuin, then actually he cannot be made for b'kaidman with nedarim she made before he got married to her. That's only because the father's not there in that relationship. Once there's nisuin, the father has no rights over her. And therefore, that would only apply by nisuin where the father has no rights. Now, then the husband can't be made for b'kaidman. But when he's just engaged to her, where then he has to be made for the nether, according to everybody, b'shutfes, in partnership with the father. So that we would know from Svara that he could be made for even b'kaidman, because regarding the father, who's the other partner, there is no kaidman. It's not before. He was always her father, no matter when she made the nether. And therefore, according to the Brice Rabbi Shmuel, the Ran says, you're not going to need a pasuk of Unadira Allah to teach you the halacha of the Aris being able to be made for Bukhaidman, because again, he doesn't use the pasuk to explain Nair Marasa. He learns the Nair Marasa from a different pasuk. Now the Gemara asks the other way. And the Gemara says, V'rabba, according to Rabba, Haidit Tani de Rabbi Shmuel. So this pasuk that the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel learns out the halacha of Nair Marasa, the Aveya Bail Mafir Nadirao, which is from this pasuk of Beinish Le'ishta Beinav Labitoi, my Ovid Le'i. What does he do with that pasuk? Because he obviously doesn't need it to teach you the halacha of that the father and the husband are both made for b'shutfes, because that he learns out from, as we learned in the previous daf, from b'mhayisi l'ish. So now the Gemara says, mi'bayli loimer, he needs it for a different halacha, sha'bal meifin adarim shebeinoi lebeina, that the husband additionally, besides a different halacha, which is called nidri inu nefesh, nidri inu nefesh are things that afflict the soul, which are detrimental to a person's well-being. That already we have a pasuk that tells us that a husband can be made for the nedarim of his wife, because he can't just be made for any nether. It's specifically those that affect the relationship, for example, like inu nefesh, which are take down the person as it is, as the pasuk says clearly, kol nedar v'chol shvuas isa la'anis nefesh. If they took a nedar or a shvua to afflict the soul, now, but additionally, this pasuk that the Brice Rabbi Shmuel is quoting of Bein Ish Le'ishtai is teaching us an additional type of neder that he could be made for, which are things that relate to the two of them, which is what the words mean, Bein Ish Le'ishtai, that's between the two of them, which the Gemara later on, the Pei Aleph Mabeis, will explain exactly what are things that relate to the relationship of the husband and wife, that those types of things he also could be made for. And that's what's being added on from Bein Ish Le'ishtai, but not as the source of the halacha of the Av and the Baal being made for together, because that he knows from a different pasuk as we brought in the previous daf. Now the Ran just asked that according to the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, where does he know the halacha of Dvarm Shebeinoi Lebeinah? Because he learns out the pasuk Bein Ish Le'ishtai to tell you a different halacha of Avo Bail Mafir Nedireha. But yet we're saying, Rabbah, what does he do with that pasuk? He learns out the halacha of Bein Ish Le'ishtai, but according to Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, it's already being used for something else. So now the Ran says that possibly he would learn out both halachas from that pasuk, because A, it talks about Av and Baal in the same pasuk, which is when she's a Naira, as the pasuk there concludes. And then also, it uses it in the way of Bein Ish Le'ishtai to tell you that additionally, that those are types of things he could be made for, that are things in between a husband and a wife. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the fundamental principle and the mechanics of this halacha of Naira HaMairasa. And that is, we said that neither one could do it on themselves. The Baal, the Chasen, the groom, together with the father, when she's just engaged to the Chasen, both of them are necessary to be made for the nether. But Ibailu, the question was that how do we view each one individually? And that is, Baal, for example, the Aris, who we said could only be made for the nether together with the father. So the question is, when he's made for his part, what happens? So obviously something happens because he's doing half and the other party, in this case the father, is doing the other half. So what's the mechanics when he does his part and he's made for it? Is it Megis Gaius? In other words, is it like he cut half, totally half of the nether, 50% he totally nullified, but the other half is left as strong as it was when she made the nether, and that wasn't weakened whatsoever? Oy miklish kalish, or do we say that no, it's 50% qualitatively. Is it 50% quantitatively, which is Megis Gaius? In other words, you made a nether for something that's 100. Now, 50 gets cut off, but it's only 50. He can't be made for the whole nether himself. That's why he needs the other party to do it. Or do we say that no, he doesn't just knock off 50% quantitatively, he does it qualitatively. And that is, the whole thing is like half of the quality of what it was, and that is not like as if he cuts it into half and the other half maintains what it is. It's just that he weakens the whole entire nether. Now, as the Ram points out, that the Gemara could have just asked it just like it's asking by the Aris, the same thing applies to the father. It's just picking one of the two. If one of the partners does his part of the Afara, what happens? Do we see it half cut off? Or do we see in the thickness, like half of it cut off? It's like a what's called a Shvacha nether. So the Gemara wonders, Hecha kami bailan. What is the question? In other words, what would be the halachic ramifications of this question? What's the difference? You need to have both of them to be made for the nether. So the Gemara explains, Kegoin de nadra mitrain zaysen. It would be talking about where she took a specific nether from these two olives of food, let's say. Now, or from two olives, but it's regarding a shear. And they're specific. She designated these two olives she's not going to eat. Bishama aris vehefala. Now, the aris came and heard, you're taking such a nether, and he nullified, he was made for the nether. Now, v'achal sonun, now only the aris did, but the father didn't do. And then she went and she ate both of these olives. So the question is as follows. Iyamrina megis gaius, if we say that what he does, he cuts off 50% of it, but the other 50% is untouched. So then, lakia, then she would get lashes, because although when the aris was made for, he went and cut off half, which is, what's 50% of two? Is one of the olives, but the other olive maintains its nether, and therefore she would get lashes. Now, as the Ran explains, since we don't know which of the 50% is it that maintains the Isser, because which one is the half that he's being made for, so therefore she's not going to get lashes until she eats both. But if she eats both, for one of them, which was not Mufar, because he only did half, she would get lashes. But Iyamrina Miklish Kalash, but if we say that, no, the whole thing gets qualitatively weakened 50%, say Surbi Almahu. So essentially it would just be an Isser and there wouldn't be any lashes because the whole thing was weakened in its entirety as a nether, and therefore it's not a full-fledged nether to get lashes, but it would still be an Isser because he only weakened it. So the question is my. So therefore, one very halachic relevance would be, does she get lashes in such a case or not? That would depend on if we say Megis Gaius or Miklish Kalash. So what's the halacha? What's the mechanics when one of them does his part of the afar? So the Gemara says Toshima. The Gemara brings a lengthy brisa that continues onto the top of the next daf on Samach Tesam and Alf, which will then, the Gemara will prove in the last case of the brisa that it depends actually on Machloikis Beishame Imisal. So, but the Gemara brings the brisa as follows. Emosai Amr, when did they say, and this is the halacha we alluded to before, that Meis Habal, when the husband dies, Nisroik Nereshus La'av, then the domain, the rights that the husband had, the chasen had in the wife, then gets emptied out into the domain of the father. In other words, the word nisroikne comes from the word of mabrik, of pouring out, of emptying, like you take wine from one cup and you put it into another cup. In other words, all the rights that were there by the husband that he had in the wife gets emptied out and goes to the domain of the father. So the Braisa wonders, when did we say this halacha of nisroikne, that we could then transition and transfer all the rights that he had, and they're all in the father's domain? So there's a few different cases that the Braisa starts off with. First one is, Bizman shalei shama habal koid mashiyomis. For example, if let's say the husband didn't hear the neder that the wife took before he died, meaning he died without ever hearing about the neder. That's one type of a case, which we're going to say is going to go, all the rights are going to go to the father. Or the second type of a case is where he heard, but he nullified the neder. That also is going to be a case where then when he dies, it's going, all the rights are going to go to the father that he also could be made for. And the girsa here is taking out, changing the order. It's not b'shasek or ishashama v'hafer, it's rather v'hafer, which we just said from the previous case, ishashama b'shasek, or he heard and he was silent, umeis boy bayoyim, and he died that day. Now the Ran explains that this third case here that we're talking about is that's what's being qualified by saying umeis boy bayoyim. Regarding when he heard and he was silent, that is specifically only if he died that day, where then he didn't get a chance yet to passively be mekayim the neder by hearing it and not nullifying it. That's when we say in all these cases that's going to be nisroikna, the reshos tayav, then now in all these three cases, the father can be made for the neder. Now, whereas, because regarding this last case, where he heard about it and he was not made for it, if he would die not that day, but rather the following day, then actually not. Then the father would not be able to be anymore what's called nisroikna, and get all the rights and be made for the neder of his daughter. And the reason being is because since the husband was alive on the day that it was made and he was not made for it, and he had heard it and not been made for it, so he reveals that he likes it, or else he would have protested. Now, therefore, the father, who is coming from the authority of the husband, in other words, the halacha of nisroikin is he gets the rights of the husband, but it's coming from the power of authority of the husband. If the husband himself preferred the neder, he can't go ahead and take those rights after the husband dies and use it to be made for the neder, because it's really, we said, 50-50 partners, essentially, in the woman. So when he dies, so there's halacha that if he didn't do anything that opposes hafara, so the father could then go ahead and take those 50% shares that now he gets because the husband died and be totally made for the neder. But regarding such a case where if he heard and he was not made for, and then the following day he dies, if you didn't be made for on that same day, that's a passive way of being mekayim. But if, let's say, he heard and he was made for, then even if he dies the following day, then the father could be mefer. And the reason being is because that even though when the husband dies, so his hafara also stops, it also is batel, and the father's now going to have to be mefer his own 50% shares together with the husband's 50% shares, even so, that since the husband was already mefer, so therefore you can't say that it's going to be considered like the husband was making, that he preferred the neder, even though his hafara is not valid anymore, but still he revealed to himself that he doesn't want the neder, and therefore, although now he's dead, then what could he do about it? Obviously, his hafara is not going to work anymore to be mevatel the neder, but still, that's what the first case of the Braisa concludes, zuhi shashaninu, this is what we have learned as halacha, the mesa baal nesreik nreshos la'av. The husband dies, the rights go to the father, again, because all these three cases are talking about not the husband's non-negation of the hafara. The only case that would be a problem is actually, as this case actually concludes on Amud Beis, is only avalim shama v'kayim. But if the husband heard and he was mekayim, he says, yes, I want it to be a neder. Or even if he heard and he was silent, and umeis b'yom shel achiv means to say the whole day went by, and he was not mefer, which is essentially a passive kiyum, because why didn't you protest? You heard and you could have. Obviously, you were agreeable to it. Now, you have the whole day, so it's not considered kiyum until the whole day passes. And therefore, if he dies the following day, ein yachal hafer, so in such a case, the father actually would not get the power of nisreikna. He would not be able to be mefer, because here, he only is nisreikna, meaning he only gets the other 50% from the husband. The husband said, I don't want this to be mufer, either by actively being mekayimet or passively being mekayimet, so then obviously the father, who is going to get his rights, can't do what the husband himself had already said he doesn't want to happen, and therefore he wouldn't be able to. But regarding the other three cases, where either the husband himself was mefer, so again, although that goes out the window, but still he wasn't mekayimet, or regarding those other cases, those other two cases, which didn't negate hafara, so therefore when the father then gets that after the husband dies, he himself could go ahead and be made for the neder. That's the first category. Now the Braisa moves on the other way around. Let's say Shama Aviyo V'Hafarlo. Let's say the father heard about the neder and he was actually made for the neder. Now, V'lo Hispik Baal Lishmoya, the husband didn't get a chance to hear about it, Achamei Sa'af. And the father, who was Mefred, died before the husband, who's still alive, got a chance to hear about it. And only then, after the father dies, does he hear about it. Zuhi Shashaninu, this is what we learned, which is the second category the Braisa talks about, of Mei Sa'av, if the father dies, that we don't say the other way around. That is, Lo Nisrek Nurshus Labal. That is, the husband does not inherit the rights of the father. Now, the Ran explains that, in other words, but that's the basic divide. We're saying that the father could inherit the rights of the husband, which is called Nisraikna, gets emptied out from the husband to the father, but when the father dies, the husband does not inherit the rights of the father. Now, the Ran just points out that this, that it says, V'lehispik habal, what's the necessity of saying that the husband didn't get a chance to hear about it? He obviously ended up hearing about it because he wants to be made for it, but he can't because he only heard about it after that the father had died. Why is that relevant that he didn't hear about it until the father died? So on that, the Ran says that's actually an added chiddush to this halacha as follows. That although at the time that the father had made the neder, when the father had been made for the neder, it wasn't eligible at all for the aris. And he had nothing to do with it, because actually, as the Gemara will tell us later on Ayin Mabez, that if he didn't know about it, so it's considered like he has no rights in it. Now, obviously, we see that if he's not aware of it, so then his power in that neder is less. So therefore, what the Ran's explaining, the Chiddush of the Braisa is as follows, that we would have thought to say, so the husband has nothing to do with it, because he didn't even hear about it when the father was being made for it, and actually he didn't even hear about it until the father died. So we would think that since the father, who's the only one essentially at that time that had rights to it, was made for it, and the Baal really essentially had nothing to do with it at that time, so we would have thought that when the father ultimately dies, it was such a weakened neder at that time when he died, because the only one that really had rights in it, that knew anything about it, was the father, and he did the hafara. So now when he dies, essentially the only thing that's left is a very beaten down, weakened type of a neder that's being left over for the husband. And therefore we would have thought to say that for that little bit left of the neder that still has validity to it, that we would have thought that that would be enough for the Baal to be mefer. That's the chiddush, that even though this neder was so much weakened, because the only one that was around when the father was mefer, because he even died before the husband even heard about it, was the father, and he was the one that was made for it. So we would think in that little bit amount that's left now, that the husband should be able to make for it. That's the chiddush, that even that little bit left, the husband cannot be made for. And that's the chiddush, because there's no such halacha of nisraikna, even though there's so much little left, he still can't be made for it, because he can only do 50%, and the other 50% from the father, he does not inherit. And in other words, the Ran says that just like we learned in the first case of the Braisa, that even though it was not weakened whatsoever, which was like the case of when the husband heard and he was silent, so it's a full-fledged neder over here. And still, we said the chiddush the other way, that still the father could be made for it because he gets all the rights of the husband when the husband dies. So that's what the Ran says. That's the second case, of the second category of the Braisa, saying the chiddush the other way around, that even though it's so weakened, because the father, when he had been made for, he was the only one that knew about it, and therefore he essentially made it to almost nothing. That's the chiddush the other way around, that still the husband cannot be made for the neder, because even though it's so weakened, it doesn't make a difference. He doesn't inherit it. The opposite of the father, who even though it's a full-fledged, blown-up type of a neder, the father could inherit the husband's, and yes, be made for it, the husband cannot, even though it's such a weakened-out neder. That was the second category of the Braisa. Now the Braisa continues, which is the parallel of the first. There's four main cases of the Braisa, which the first and the third talk about the father inheriting from the husband, and the second and the fourth talk about the husband's inability to inherit from the father. So now we're going to the third category, which is essentially the same as the first. Shama baila v'hafarlo. Let's say if the husband heard about the neder of the arusa, of the woman that he's engaged to, V'hafrala, and he was made for the nether. Now, v'lo hispika av l'shmoya ad shemes abal. Now, the father didn't get a chance to hear about the nether, but by the time he heard it, the husband was already dead. So, zuhi sheshenino, the Brisa says again, this is what we had learned, that mes abal nesrik nirshus la'av. If the husband dies, so that gets emptied out to the father, and therefore the father could go ahead and be made for the nether. So now the Ran wonders about that. This seemingly seems to be the same thing as the first category, which is the halacha of Nisraikna. So now the Ran says that here also there's a chiddush that the Brais is teaching us, that when the husband was made for the nether, and he died before the father even got a chance to hear about it, that even so, that when the husband dies, it's going to be Nisraikin l'rishos av, it's going to go to the father's domain. Now, why is that a chiddush? So the Ran says the chiddush is specifically this idea of v'lo hispik, that the husband who is mefer, now seemingly all the father has to do is do his half, but the chiddush is that the fact of that the father didn't get a chance to hear about it by the time that the husband was already dead. And the Ran says, because that must be the chiddush of this third case, because if not, this is essentially the same thing as the first category, which are the same halacha. Now, before we get a chance to teach what is the chiddush of this third case, the Ran actually forewarns the question over here. And he says that seemingly you would say actually to the contrary, that it would seem like that the ratio of the Brais, the category that we're speaking about, that's actually the bigger chiddush. And therefore, that makes the question stronger about what is the Brais teaching over here in the third category. And the reason being is because at the time in the first category, when the husband heard, and he was quiet, not like over here where we say that he was mefer. Now, even though that he didn't weaken the nether at all, because he wasn't mefer the nether, he actually heard and he was quiet, still we said that if he dies that day, it gets nisraik and l'rishos av, it's going to get emptied out, and the father, it doesn't make a difference, he can take a full-fledged, that a strong nether, and take that 50% of the husband, and he could use it himself and take all 100% to be made for the nether. Now, if so, the Ran asks, kal v'chomer for this third category. Because if the nether is as it always was, a strong, full-fledged nether, the father could be made for. So therefore, in our third case, where it's already a weakened nether, because the case we're talking about over here is, A, first of all, the husband was made for, which already weakened it 50%, and moreover, the father didn't even hear about it when the husband was mefrid. He only heard about it after the husband was dead, which we said that strengthens the husband's ability, because as we said, if someone doesn't know about it, it's like they don't really have authority over it. Where therefore, that makes the afar of the Baal even stronger. So the question the Ran asks, so why do we have to say we'll be here in this third category that the father can be mefrid, where all he's getting is this weakened nether? Of course he can get nisraken, if even by the strong nether that we said, he could get Nisraken over there too. Moreover, the Ran says, is that we said regarding the case of where the father heard that there was a chiddush that we said that although that the father was mefer, but since the husband didn't get a chance to hear yet, which is essentially the same thing as our case over here, where we said that the neder was very much weakened, and even so, we said that that's the chiddush, that the husband's not going to be able to be mefer. So the question the Ran's asking, if that's the chiddush in that case, that the husband cannot be mefer, which we explained in the second category, what was the chiddush that the husband can be mefer? Even though he's getting just this meek, beaten down nether, he still can't get nisraken. So we see that that's obviously the bigger chiddush, meaning in other words, you would think for sure nisraken works when you get a beaten down, lessened type of a nether than a full-fledged, blown a nether. So then the question is, then what's the chiddush over here in this third category? It's essentially the same type of a case where you're getting a beaten down where the Baal was mefer ready, just like in that second case where the father was mefer. Here the Baal was mefer, so what's the chiddush that the father could be mefer? Kal v'chomer from the first one where he's getting a full-fledged nether and still he could be mefer based on this reikin. That's the question that the Ran poses for this third case. Now, so he says actually that it's not necessarily true, because you could say the way we describe this third category, and it's not going to be a difficulty. And the reason being is because you could actually say the chiddush is either way. In other words, you could say, as we've been saying before, as we said in the second category, that since the first party's hafara that made it that it, at a time when the other one didn't even know about it, that we said that that truly weakens the neder very much, and therefore all that's left over for the other one to inherit is just a little bit amount. So you're right. For that little bit amount, we thought to say, let's say, for example, for the husband, when the father had been made for the nether, and the husband didn't hear about it. He only heard about it after the father had died. So we thought to say, look, what's the husband getting already? He let him do his share, and the only thing he's really inheriting from the father is this weakened, beaten down nether. So we thought to say that that would be something that you could do for the husband. So that's what we taught in the second category, that even that little bit amount of nether, that's still not going to be nistriken from the father to the husband, and he can't be made for. And therefore, seemingly, that's the more obvious one. And that's why that reinforces the question on this third category. But Aran says you could also say the other way around. How so? Since the first one's hafara was a valid hafara, it was a very, very good hafara. Now, since he was made for at a time when the second one didn't know about it, and you're right, everything like we said up until now, and that it did, therefore weakened the nether very much, and all that's left over for the other one to inherit is just a very weakened type of a nether. But we would have thought to say, actually, to the contrary, that since the only thing that's left over is a very weakened state, therefore it's not enough, it's not significant enough for the other one, meaning in this case, the third category, for the father to inherit. Actually, paradoxical, the other way around. Because actually, this is what the Gemara is going to say at the end of our daf, meaning on the top of Samach Tesa Medala from Beis Hillel, regarding the last case of the Braisa, which is the fifth case, that actually, that the father cannot be Mefer, because since the Nedah was so much weakened, the father has, it's not significant enough for the father to go ahead and inherit the rights in it. So we see actually a Svara the other way around. When it's so weakened, it's not enough for it to be something to be inherited, and therefore that's why we would have thought to say the same thing over here in the third category. And that is what the third category of the Braisa is teaching, a Chiddush, that even so, even if it's so beaten down that because the only one that knew about it was the husband, and he was Mefer, and then he died before the father ever heard about it, and so therefore what's the father getting, just this weakened 50% from the other partner, from the husband? Even so, that's the Chiddush of the Braisa that we're going to say Nisroikna to the Shush of the father. And the reason being is because although that at the time when the husband was Mefer, then you're right, that was a full-fledged Hafara to really weaken the Neder because he was the only one that knew about it and the father didn't even hear about it. Still, man, that's the Chiddush of the Braisa. When the husband dies, so then his Hafara is essentially out the window. It's totally bottled. And therefore, it's like he was never Mefer, so there is something legitimate and eligible and significant enough for the father to inherit, which is the 50% of the chasana of the husband. However, that stands in contrast to the fifth case of the Braisa, which since in that case, as we're going to see, that the father is still around, so his hafara was never batal, and therefore, since it is so weakened, that's why Beis Hillel says that he can't go ahead and merit in the other 50%, that of the husband, as we're going to explain that. But that is why we would have thought that that case in this third category would be the same thing, actually the other way around. Therefore, you could say chidushim either way. The first one was saying, even when it's full-fledged, and you could say such a chidush, as we said in the second category, for the husband, meaning that the more obvious one, the more simpler understood one that you could have in this reikin, is when it's beaten down. And still we said the husband cannot get it. But the logic works the other way too. And that it was saying for the father, that we would have thought, because it's so beaten down, it'd be like that halacha of Beis Hillel we're going to see later on, that it's not even worthy of Nisraken, and that we're saying that no, it is worthy, because ultimately when the husband dies, it's like he was never Mefer, so it like pops back up again, and therefore it's significant enough for the father to inherit, to have Nisraken, to be Mefer the whole entire neder. That was the third category. Now the Braisa goes, which we said is the fourth one parallels the second one, which is the chiddush of the husband not being able to do it. The Braisa says, Shama Baila V'Hafala. The husband heard about the nether, and he was made for the nether. The father didn't get a chance to hear about it before he died, meaning he died without ever hearing about the nether. And that we say, Ein Habal Yachal Hafer. The husband cannot be made for the nether. And the reason being is, Ein Habal Mefer Ela B'Shutfus, because the husband could only be made for a nether with a partnership with the father, and the father is dead. He was never made for, and therefore he can't do it by himself. Now, this Duran explains that this fourth category is also saying a chiddush more than what we learned in the second category, which was talking about when the father heard about it and he was mefer, where we concluded over there that if the father dies, it's not going to be Nisrik and Lashus HaBal, even though we said it's so beaten down, all he has to get is just 5%, let's say, that's left. And even then we said it's not going to work. So, and that the Ran explains that in that case, you could say that although that at the time when the father was made for the neder, that that was a valid hafara, and he definitely weakened it so much, and the only thing that was left was just a smidgen left of that of the father's portion, but and the reason was because the husband didn't even hear about it at that time, and the only one that really had anything to do with it was the father, and he was made for it. Still, we said in the second category, and the father dies, so essentially like the neder pops back up again, and because when the father dies, it's like his afar is not around anymore, and like it has no substance, and therefore we said that since it is really a full-fledged neder, so it makes sense that the husband doesn't have the authority to be mefer because he's only able to be mefer 50%, and we don't have the halacha of nisraken from the father to the husband. Now, however, the chiddush of this fourth case is that, in other words, here, where the neder was weakened. Why? Because the husband was the one that was made for it. Now, the father actually never ended up hearing about it. And therefore, the neder essentially is still in its weakened state because you never had anyone to weaken the husband's hafara because the husband's still around. And therefore, his hafara is still extant. Now, therefore, we would have thought to say, since it's a weakened neder and what's left over after the father died is only just a little bit, again, because this is very different than the second category, which we said when the father dies, since he was the one that did Afara, his Afara is out the window when he dies, and therefore pops back up. So now the husband, although he could do his 50%, it's like essentially all of 50% of the father's back, and he doesn't have Nisrik, and so of course he can't be made for the neder. But however, in our case, where the husband was the one that was made for, and he didn't die, the father ended up dying without ever hearing about it. So therefore, since he was the only one that knew about it, the husband, and he was mefer, that really weakens it a lot. And then the father dies. See, we would have thought that that little bit left, that which is here now, let's say 5% left of what the father's share is, that he could inherit that and then be mefer. That's the chiddush of this fourth category, that even so, the husband cannot be mefer the neder. And that is that even though the father really never had any right in this neder whatsoever because he never even found out about it, and therefore that's so weakened, to the sense of that there's almost nothing there, because the only portion that really, who knew about it was the husband, he was mefer, and that's still around. That's the chiddush of this fourth category, that even so, the husband cannot be mefer, because that's a set halacha, that is, that the husband could only be mefer, b'shutfes, he needs a partner, doesn't make a difference if all the percentage was in his court, doesn't make a difference, he can't do it by himself, he needs the father with him. And that's why the Ran says the wording of the Brice is so precise. It doesn't say like it said regarding the second case, that Lo Nisrik Nirishus Labal, that the father's rights do not get, his shares don't go to the husband. That's because that second case was talking about that the father was Zeich in it. Meaning because he was the one that only knew about it and he was made for it and then he died. So we say when he dies, so his Afara is also dies. And therefore they would make sense to say that, okay, so now his 50% is back. So that's not Nisrik and Lashus HaBal. Because that sounds like what the father was saying already, because he heard about it, that will not go and be emptied into the domain of the husband. But here what the Ran's saying is the father never really had any rights in the neder, because he never even heard about it. And therefore you would think to say that the afar of the husband will not be batal, because he's not dead. And therefore essentially all the pashirs are really by him. And that's what the Mishnah, the Brice is teaching. A set halacha doesn't make a difference if all the shears are by the husband, because essentially it is, because the father never took any shears, because that's halacha by an oris, that he could only be made for b'shutfas, he needs a partner, and if the other partner, the father, doesn't do it, he can't do it. Whereas, in contrast to the father, where that we're going to see later halacha, that for him it does work in this rekna, it goes from the chasen to the father, but it doesn't go to the father to the chasen, so although he doesn't really need any shears from the father, but he doesn't get his shears, and therefore he's really like one partner, and the Aris can't do it without the partner of the father. So therefore, the Ran concludes that, as we've been explaining, the Braisa, up until now, spoke about four different cases, had two cases regarding that the Rishus of the husband, when he dies, are in Nisraken to the Rishus Av, and it had two cases, which were that it's not Nisraken when the father dies, from his Rishus to the Rishus of the husband, and each one has its own individual Chiddush, as we just explained. And the order is Nisrekna, and it goes from the husband to the father, loy nisreikna, meaning it doesn't go from the father to the husband, nisreikna, that it goes from the husband to the father, and loy nisreikna, it doesn't go from the father to the husband. Those are the four cases of the Braisa. Now we continue on top of Samach Tasam and Alf, where we continue with the fifth and final case of the Braisa, which will conclude this Braisa and the Raya that the Gemara wanted regarding the question of Megiz Gaius and Miklish Kalish, if the woman would get Malkus in that case when one of the parties was made for the Neder, is from the following case. Shama Aviyah V'Hafalav. The father heard about the Neder of his daughter that's engaged in Nairam Rasa, and he was made for the Neder. Now the husband didn't get a chance to hear about it. He died before ever hearing about the Neder. So on that, the Braisa says, Chayzer Ha'av U'mefer Chelke Shabal. So the father goes back and he now nullifies the portion of the husband. So the Ran just points out that the wording Chayzer could be misleading. It doesn't mean that he has to go back and be mefer what he had already done before, meaning of his own portion, of the father's portion. The reason why it says Chayzer is because since he already did hafar one time for his 50% shares, now he's going to go back and do hafar again, not for his own 50% shares, but for the 50% shares of the chasen. And with that, it's enough, and he doesn't have to go back and be made for his chelik once again. And the reason being is because since he didn't die, so his hafar is still extant. Now, although that the husband did die, but that doesn't nullify the hafara of the father. And moreover, we know there's halach of nisreikin, so now he could do the hafara of the husband. But Amr ibn Nasan, he qualifies this last halach, and he says, actually, hein hin divrei Beis Shammai. This opinion that we just mentioned, the fifth case, is only going according to Beis Shammai, that they hold that the father could nullify in such a case, whereas that he only has to go ahead now and nullify the other 50% that he's inheriting from the husband who died. And the reason being is because since when the father, he was mefer and he didn't die, so his afar is not batal. But Reb Nosson says, Beis Hillel Eimrim, they argue and they say, Ein yach lahafer, that in such a case, the father cannot be mefer, even if he would go back and do again hafar on his portion and the portion of the husband. And the reason being is, and this will be the contingency of the question that started off why we introduced this braisa, is because Shema Mano, what we could hear from this machlokes is, because Libbe Shammai, the way they understand when one of the parties does hafara, is Megiz Gaius. In other words, when the father first did his hafara, so he only did hafara on his 50%. Now, what that means is, since you hold Megiz Gaius, it means to say it's quantitatively, like you chopped off 50%, but the portion of the husband wasn't diminished whatsoever. It's totally a full-fledged neder as it was up until now, hence, it's significant enough. There's something here for the father to inherit in the context of Nisroikin, and this is the concept that we mentioned before. It has to be significant enough to actually get from the other party. There has to be some shares there to inherit. That would be the case if you say Megiz Gaius, where he just cut off half and he got that, but the other 50 is still full-fledged. But Beis Hillel Miklash Kalash. But according to Beis Hillel, they hold that the whole thing gets weakened. In other words, when the father did hafar on his portion, it's not just like that he cut off quantitatively 50%, it's that qualitatively 50% of the nether, all of it is weakened, even the part of the husband, because the whole thing gets weakened. Therefore, there's not even substance, it's too insignificant for the father to inherit the husband's portion that the husband now died for him to inherit. And therefore, since the father's still around, so his afara, whatever it did to the nether, is still extant, so therefore the nether is still in its weakened state. Now, since it's in a weakened state, even the portion of the husband, so therefore it's not significant enough to say Nisroikin on, and that's why the father cannot be mefer, because although he would be able to get Nisroikin from the husband's portion, but it's not significant enough for him to inherit that, and therefore he's stuck now because it's not significant enough to inherit, and therefore, although he could be mefer it if he would get it, but he can't get it. And therefore, that is what the Gemara says, Shema Mino. What we can infer from this is that the question that we asked regarding Megiz Gaius, which would mean if, let's say, she took a neder regarding two Zaysim, would she get Malkus on the other one? That's like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai would say she would get Malkus. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, it says Miklish Kalish, the whole thing gets weakened. Therefore, even when she makes a neder on two Zaysim and one of the parties does Afara, it would just be like an Isser Ba'alma and not, no, it would not be any Malkus because the whole thing gets weakened, as we see in the context of Nisroikin. Now, one thing the Ram points out, that this halacha is actually only talking about a Beis Hillel, where if she didn't get engaged to someone else. But if she gets engaged to someone else later on that same day when her chasan was nifter, then actually the father and the husband, the second husband, would jointly be able to be made for the neder, as the Gemara will teach us later on the Brayis Naf Ayin Amud Aleph, and as we'll explain over there in that sugya, which is the ability to be made for Bekaidman, and therefore then, even according to Beis Hillel, then the father would be able to be made for the chelik of the previous chasan together with the new chasan. But again, the halacha that Beis Hillel is saying is that if it's just the father left and the chasan who died, although generally we say nisraikin, it has to be significant enough to say nisraikin. Again, and that's what we had said, the paradoxical chiddush in the third category, which that we're saying it's not so weakened to not allow the father inherited because it gets blown back up again, in contrast to this case, where since the father was the one who weakened it, and he's still around, so therefore even when the husband dies, it doesn't just pop back up again, it still remains in its weakened state, and therefore it's not enough to have nisraikin on, and therefore it's miklash kalish. And again, that's the machlekes b'sham b'sil, regarding the question that was posed, depends if you're like b'shamai or b'sil, if you're like megiz gaiz or miklash kalish.